Matthew chapter 6, I'll begin in verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Together in verse 13, ready? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll just maybe put a bookmark there now and go with me to Luke chapter 11. Much of the message will be out of Luke 11, but we're going to start in Matthew 6 just for a moment and then go into Luke 11. In Luke 11, we're going to start in verse number 5. Now, before we start there, if you go back to verse number 2, you'll see the context is the same. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. So it's the same teaching that was in book of Matthew, but he adds some things here in Luke, and that's why we're looking at Luke as well. So we'll start in verse 5, and I should read every other verse with me as well. And we'll go from verse 5 down to verse 8 in Luke 11. I'll start in verse 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, for the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Together in verse 8. Ready? I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now these verses are, my guess is, they're familiar to you because they're oft preached from, oft referenced, but also, just a couple weeks ago, we preached from a message on prayer from, I didn't look at the exact text, but I'm thinking it was out of Luke 11. It was a very message out of those very same verses. But tonight, we're going to go, and even though we're going to reference Luke 11, we're going to start in Matthew 6. And if you'll go back with me to Matthew 6, I'll show you how we're going to begin the message. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And often, as I tell you, it's the model prayer or a lesson on prayer. And we're going down to verse 13. We're going to look at one word, and that is going to be the title of our message. And then from that, we'll go to Luke 11 and build on it. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, go to the very last word of that verse. What word is that? Amen. Amen. That's the message. Amen. That's the title of the message. Now, in case you're wondering, is that also the closing prayer and we're leaving? No, that is not. No. Don't be that encouraged by it. But amen. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Now, it is, I think, maybe, seems to be a little odd to be preaching on a message on prayer so quickly after the last one. I'm not criticizing anyone, and other preachers do what they think the Lord should want them to do. I don't know if I've ever said, and if I have, it's not been very often, where I say, you know, God's will is X. You know, I know what the Bible says, and whatever the Bible says is God's will, but other than that, I'm really leery about telling you things that are God's will that the Bible doesn't specifically say. When we bought this building, people asked me, do you think this is God's will? And here's my answer, I don't know. I prayed about it. It seems to be this is the way the Lord is leading, but I might get to heaven, and God's going to be like, no, stupid, it was the other building. But, you know, it seems like this was what the Lord was into, and he provided, and he led, and kind of gave us agreement together that this is what the Lord was doing. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says, thou shalt have Grace Baptist Church at 38079 Center Ridge Road in North Ridgeville, Ohio. So I can't tell you specifically like that is God's will. And so I'm also careful about saying, you know, this is God's will tonight for this message. I did not hear a voice from heaven. Us and the Gassers were somewhere yesterday, and they were hearing voices from this Victorian mansion, but it was through a speaking tube that went upstairs, this old speaking tube. But anyways, I did not hear a voice from heaven, but I feel impressed that this is the message. I almost preached a different message, but kept coming back to it, really feel impressed And so maybe God is trying to impress on us the need for prayer, maybe. Maybe I'm projecting my need for prayer upon you. Maybe I feel an impression that I really need help in my prayer, and maybe that's why I'm preaching about it, and I'm just projecting my need. I don't know. Maybe I just enjoy preaching on prayer. I can't tell you, other than, even though a couple weeks ago we preached on prayer, I really feel that this is a good message for us tonight, and trust the Lord will speak to our hearts. I don't think we can get too much praying. What do you think? I don't think God in heaven is like, "Will you shut up? I'm tired of hearing you." Okay, I don't think God has ever said that about his people. In fact, I think the opposite is true. God is like, "Hey, remember me? It's been a couple weeks. We haven't talked, have we?" So usually our problem is we don't pray enough. And so we're going to talk about this one word and the idea of what praying means. Amen. And let's pray together. Father, do pray that you would now help us as we consider some of these things tonight. Lord, I'm glad that we have your word, and whatever your Bible says, we can very clearly know this is the will of God because God says it. Other things, Lord, that you don't specifically say, we try to understand and try to come to a reasonable conclusion of those things. And it seems like there's a reasonableness, Lord, in my thinking that this is the message for this hour for us tonight. And Lord, I trust that you'll bless it. I believe what is being preached is clearly what the Bible teaches, and I do know it is what we need. And Lord, I feel like, Lord, this is the need of the hour as well. So I pray you bless it. Use it, Lord, tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. For many of us, when we get to the end of our prayer, we typically say the same thing. We say what? Amen. Amen. Just like we read there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. He goes through the Lord's Prayer, that model prayer at the end, it's amen. And often it's just simply how we close that prayer. It's like when someone gets ready, we get ready to hang up on the phone. What do you say? Bye. Someone leaves your house, you say, about time. Oh, I mean, yeah, bye. Hasta mañana. I mean, you know, have a good day. It's just how we kind of close a conversation or we part ways. We just have that closing word. And I think for most of us, many of us, if maybe all of us tonight, when we think about that idea of saying amen, it's just how we end a prayer. I mean, it's like, we're done. I'm done praying, so amen. I mean, I have nothing else to say. And we just kind of close it that way. But watch this. What if I told you tonight, now I want you to think about the next three statements carefully, because they really convict me. What if I told you tonight that the word amen, that word, may be one of the most important words said in the entire prayer? What if I told you tonight that we are to decide on the amen part before we decide on any other part of that prayer? What if I told you that the only prayers that we can properly say an amen to are the prayers that we have a reasonable biblical expectation of an answer to? Now, when we think about that word amen, it's not simply a closing word, even though we typically close our prayers with the word amen. It has a certain function and a purpose in our prayer, and I believe plays a very important role in our prayer, and probably not as much as we consider. And if we really consider the amen part, it really teaches us about really how the whole prayer should be structured and how it should be applied. The word amen itself, and I don't think this is new to you, but maybe we don't consider it enough. The word amen to itself means when we can properly say amen to something, it means so be it, or truly, or surely. So when you say amen, you're saying, yes, this is it. This is how it should be. Surely this is true. This is exactly the way it should be. Now, it's interesting, in Revelation 3:14, here's what Jesus said, or here's what the Bible says. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So really, when we're saying amen to a prayer, we're putting Christ right there. We're saying, okay, this is the amen part of that prayer. This is where Christ, we're looking to Christ, we're trusting Christ, our confidence is in Christ. Now watch, because I'm going somewhere. This idea of saying amen in our prayer, here's what we're saying. Now watch, because again, this to me is the convicting part as I consider this. When I say amen to my prayer, when I, whatever that prayer is, I go through the, whatever the requests are, whatever the things are, I come to the end and I say, now Lord, amen. What I'm saying is, Lord, if Jesus was right here, if he was living in my shoes, in my life, in my circumstances, in my surroundings, if he was in, he had my job, he had my family, he had my issues, my things I'm dealing with, if he was in my place, these are the things that Jesus would be praying about. And if these aren't the things he should, if these aren't the things he would be praying about, these aren't the things I should be praying about. See, I should be praying as Jesus was praying in my circumstance, in my situation, with my things going on in my life. I should be praying as if this is what Jesus would be praying. This is what Jesus would be asking. Now, when we consider that, here's what we understand. These are the prayers I can say amen to. The prayer I can say, now, Lord, this specific request, these things I've asked you about, I know this is, if Jesus had my job, if Jesus had my problems, if Jesus had these situations, here's what he'd be praying about. And then I say, amen, so be it. Because truly, this is a biblical prayer. Now, when I can pray that way, then I can have confidence. When I can say amen, so be it, truly, surely, when I can put the amen to my prayer, and knowing this is exactly what the Lord himself be praying about, then I can have true confidence in the answer to that prayer. Go with me, if you will. 1 John 5, very famous verse, very necessary verse as we think about praying. 1 John chapter 5. And look with me in verse 14. Because sometimes when we pray, I think we have this idea, well, am I really praying? Am I just talking to myself? Really, what good are these words? Are we just, you know, just mumbling things? But here's what the Bible tells us in 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Heareth us. Now, what does it mean to ask according to his will? That means this is what he would be praying. This is his will about this situation. Jesus was in my circumstance, here's what he'd want me to have done. Here's what the outcome he'd want. This is what he desires in this. So I'm praying according to his will, what his desire is. Now, if I can pray that way, knowing this is what the Lord wants in my situation, this is what the Lord would desire, then I can have confidence that he's hearing me. Now, why is that important? Look at verse 15. And if we know that he hears us. Now, how do I know that he hears us? Because I know, according to the scripture, this is what Jesus be praying about. And therefore, if Jesus was praying, the Father, let me ask you, would the Father be listening if Jesus was praying? For sure he would be. So I can have confidence that this is what Jesus is praying, would be praying about. The Father would be hearing him. So I have confidence that the Father's hearing my prayer. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now think of that great promise there. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. There is such a way to pray that we have such confidence. We can go to the Lord saying, Lord, I know this is exactly what Jesus would be praying about. I know you hear this, and therefore, Lord, I know this is what you're going to do. Now that's kind of strange, almost. We almost think Pentecostal. Almost, that's kind of weird. But God is teaching us this is the confidence we should have in prayer. There should be a certain way we pray, biblically speaking, that we have this confidence that God hears us and we have this assurance that God is going to do exactly what we asked him to do. So this idea of saying amen is the idea that Jesus is in my shoes. He's praying. This is what he'd be praying about, and I'm praying according to his will, and I can say, amen, surely, so be it, truly, this is, Lord, what you want me to be praying about. So this idea of saying amen is one of confidence and one of faith. I know what the Bible says. I know what God wants. I know that God hears, and I know that God answers. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying amen to a sermon. There's nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you what's more important than saying amen to a sermon. Being able truly to say amen to your prayer. Most of the time when we say amen, we're just, okay, I'm done. But the Lord is teaching us this. When I say amen, I'm looking back over that prayer, and I'm saying, Lord, I have confidence that this is exactly what you'd have me praying about, and I have confidence that you're hearing me, and therefore, Lord, I know that I'm going to receive the petitions that I've asked for. Now, this obviously is not a health and wealth message. It's not the idea that gold dust is coming from the sky. It's not all of a sudden you got a gold Lexus and gold teeth. We're not talking about weird stuff. We're talking about having a walk with the Lord and a confidence in our prayer that we can truly say, amen. I'm done praying, amen, but Lord, so be it. I know this is your will. I know this is what you want. So this idea of saying amen is one of confidence and one of faith. So then we come to the question, really, that gets us into the message then. How can we pray in that way? How can we pray in such a way that we come to the end of the prayer and we're not just simply saying, okay, Lord, bye, see you later, but we're saying, amen, so be it, truly, surely, this is what you'd want, this is the will of God, I have confidence, this is exactly what Jesus be asking. How can I have a prayer that I can truly say amen to? Well, that brings us then to our other text, which is Luke chapter number 11. And in Luke 11, I'm going to share with you, this is probably one of my two favorite places probably to preach on prayer is Matthew 6 and Luke 11. We're using them both. And so Luke 11 has really some great lessons on prayer, and I've preached all kinds of different sermons from these verses. But I'm going to share with you four things. Ask yourself. So you've had this prayer time. Now, I'm getting ready to say amen, but can I truly say amen? Because if I can truly say amen, now, let me stop again. I want you to get this. If I can truly say amen, I'm saying I have confidence that God is going to hear and answer that prayer. Now, if I don't have confidence he's going to hear and answer that prayer, then I really should not be saying amen. I should be saying, I hope, I guess. But I'm going, amen, so be it. Truly, surely, this is what the Lord's going to do. That type of confidence, that type of amen, if I want to get to that point, there's four questions I'm going to ask myself about that prayer I just had to see whether I can really amen my prayer. Can I amen the prayer I just had? Well, there's four questions. So let's go back to Luke 11. Look at verse 5. Here's the first question I can ask about my prayer to see if I can amen my prayer. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go into the midnight and say unto him, now watch this, friend. Now what does he ask his friend to do? Lend me what? Three what? Loaves. Did he say four? Did he say some? Did he say a few? Did he say what you got? How much can I get from you? He asked for a specific number, three. And what did he ask three of what? Loaves. Did he say, hey, can I have three of whatever you got? Have some, you got any leftovers? Can you throw something in the bag? He said, no, here's what I'm asking for, three loaves of bread. There's three loaves of bread I'm asking for, something very specific. So if I want to, can I amen my prayer? Well, let me ask you, here's the first question to ask. I'm looking at my prayer. Can I amen that prayer I just have? Question number one, have I prayed specifically? Have I really asked the Lord? Most of our prayers, I'm not trying to be unkind, and sometimes we use extreme statements just to provoke you, and that's what I'm kind of doing. I'm trying to really, if I had more maybe guts, I'd walk over and slap you, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to provoke you. Most of our prayers, we might as well pray to Buddha. We might as well pray to some rock. Because we say, God, bless, help, do something, make everyone love each other, amen. Really? That is so abstract, that is so bland, that is so unspecific. There's nothing. How would the Lord even answer that prayer? What are you asking the Lord to do? When he came knocking on this door, hey friend, I want three loaves of bread. What if his friend gave him two? That's not what he asked for. What if he gave him three pears? Is that what he asked for? He asked for three loaves of bread. So if he's going to get what he asked for, what should he get? Three loaves of bread. And so he's asking for something very specific. And so we need to pray specifically, asking the Lord to do specific things based on the need. Let me show you an example of what I mean. You're in Luke 11. Go with me to Luke 18. Luke 18. Look with me in verse 35. And it came to pass, this is verse 35, Luke 18. It came to pass that as he was come nigh, he being Jesus, was come nigh to Jericho, a certain man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What does that mean? What does it mean to have mercy on me? He didn't ask for anything specific, did he? And Jesus hasn't given him anything until he asked for something specific. Let's continue on. Let's see what happens. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought into him. And when he was come near, he asked him, now watch, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Well, the guy, he wants mercy. Well, what does that mean, you want mercy? Jesus said, don't give me this generic, general term. What specifically are you asking me to do? Now, watch what happens. Verse 40 again. And when verse 41, saying, what will that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now what happens? Verse 42, and Jesus said to him, receive thy what? What did he ask for? I want to receive my what? Sight. What did Jesus do for him? He gave him his, as a specific prayer that he asked the Lord, and the Lord did exactly what this guy prayed about. Now, why is that important? Well, watch what happens next. Look at verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You see, when we ask specific prayers, now watch this, when there are specific requests, that allows God to give us specific answers, to which then we give specific praise to the Lord. Maybe, and again, I'm projecting myself on you, I'm admitting it, maybe one of the things we fail at is being able to praise the Lord for specific things. Now, I'm glad you're saved. If you're saved tonight, I'm glad you're saved. And we can always thank the Lord for that. But isn't it kind of odd when we say, well, what specifically has the Lord done? You know why we have a hard time? Because we haven't really specifically asked him to do anything. So we don't really have any specifically thing to mention he's done in answer to prayer. Now, it may be that, you know, he kept you out of a car crash or things you can think of that just happened. But as far as answer to prayer, are there specific things that he did in specific requests that you gave him as a specific answer to those prayers? There should be a connection between that idea of praying and praising. And so if I'm going to say amen to the prayer, I got to look at the prayer and say, did I ask the Lord really to do anything? Did I specifically ask him to do anything that if he did it, I knew he did it? Now, I'll give you a little caveat I don't want to be overly offensive to you. I understand sometimes you don't always know God's will. And it's hard to specifically say. But there are some things, and often there's many things we know that we can specifically ask the Lord about. Instead of saying, Lord, can you save people? How about this? Lord, can you use me to get the gospel to someone? Can you help me this week to give a tract to someone, to tell someone, to witness to someone? Can, Lord, you use me this week at least one time to get the gospel to one person? See, that's a very specific thing. Instead of just saying, Lord, you know, are you going to be around family this week probably? Maybe the next couple of weeks? Instead of saying, Lord, save my family, how about, Lord, help me to tell Uncle so-and-so or Cousin so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so or that person or that neighbor. Help me to share with them the gospel. Ask the Lord for specific things so that, number one, you can say, amen, Lord, so be it. Truly, I know you want me to witness them. They're on their way to hell. I know you want me to give them the gospel. So you can say amen to it. And when the Lord does answer, you have something to praise him for. I got a chance, I mentioned this morning, the opportunity I had to share the gospel with my grandmother. Let me tell you, before I ever showed up there, as a 17-year-old boy, I was scared to death and praying, saying, Lord, now I went there to witness my grandfather, and I'm saying, Lord, help me to witness my grandfather. Just the way divine appointment worked, it was my grandmother, but it was an answer to prayer. I look at that, God had it all set up, and I told you this morning, she with. Within, I think, 4 months, she was in heaven. I didn't know that. But the Lord knew that, and that was an answer to prayer. I can look back and say, God did that. Thank God. Praise the Lord for that. So the first question, have I prayed specifically? Are there specific things I'm asking the Lord to do so that when he does it, I know he did it, and I can praise him for it and give him the glory and the credit and the honor for it? So have I prayed specifically? Is there something specifically I can say amen to in my prayer? Number two, go back with me to Luke 11, look with me in verse 6. Then he says this, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now this helps us now in our thinking here. Have I prayed specifically? Here's the second question to ask myself. I want to amen this prayer. How can I amen it? Have I asked the Lord to do something specifically? Now, number two is this, and they kind of go together. You just can't pull one of these apart from the rest. So the second thing that should be in that prayer is this. Have I prayed unselfishly? Who is he asking bread for? Someone else. Someone's come to me, and I need bread for them. Now, I talk about Brother Howes a lot. He was my pastor for 8 years. Brother Howes used to say, and I think I have him somewhere else in the message too. So, but anyways, he used to say, and I'll just tell you what he told us. He said, probably 90%, 95% of my prayers never involve me. I'm always praying about other people's situations. He said, I figure God's going to take care of me. I'm not really worried about me. I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for that person. I'm concerned about this situation. I think one of the reasons we have a hard time amening our prayers is because sometimes we look at our prayers and realize, you know, it's all about me. You know, Lord, help me here, help me here, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Do you ever think about anyone else? Really, we should be so busy praying for other people that really consumes us. I'm not saying the Lord doesn't care about you. I'm saying in our prayer, there should be some unselfishness in our praying. Now, if there's a great need, I'm not saying don't pray for it. What I'm saying is too often we use our prayer just like we use our credit card. We just want to fulfill our selfish desires. Here's a very famous verse in the Bible, James 4. He says, you have not because you what? Now, does that mean then we go around and say, Lord, I want that, I want this, I want this, I want this. Lord, give me this, give me this, give me this. No, because the next thing he says, you have not because you ask not. And then he says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, an error, to consume it upon your lusts. Because all it is, you're like, now I know this isn't true anymore, I'm dating myself, but when I was a kid, Sears catalog came out with all the toys in it, and man, don't do that. And then you're pulling out a pencil, man, you're circling all the things you want. Sometimes that's how we treat God. Lord, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. I think God says, you ever think about anyone else? Huh? I mean, really, where are you going to put all that stuff? Your garage is full, your attic is full, your basement is full. Every closet you have is full. You have a rental place down the road that you're storing your stuff in. Where are you going to put? I don't know. I'll find a place. And that's the thing. It's all about you. And so we need to pray unselfishly. Praying for this idea of praying for bread or praying for others is the idea that it's not about my physical comfort as much as I'm looking for spiritual help, maybe in serving others. Maybe I'm looking for opportunities to share the gospel, to serve, or to help. Even when I'm bringing myself in it, Lord, I need. Okay, often when I preach, I'll say, Lord, help me. But the reason I'm asking the Lord to help me is so that when I get up here, I can help you. I'm not looking for accolades. Caleb said before the message, he said some good things about the morning message. And I said, Caleb, I appreciate you didn't throw anything at me while I was preaching. I mean, I'm whatever good thing someone says, praise the Lord for it, but I don't live on those. To me, this is truth. This is the need. People are here. They need to be fed the Word of God. Lord, please help me. I'm the conduit at this moment. I'm the one the vessel you're going to use. So, Lord, please help me. I need spiritual strength to help them. Lord, I need bread to give them. And so we have to pray unselfishly. So if we're going to say amen to a prayer, the prayer, we can't look at a prayer and realize it's all about me. Everything's about me. How can I amen that? Where's the Lord in that? So if I want to amen a prayer, I need to ask specific things that deal with other people, generally speaking, and those type of prayers, amen, so be it. I know that's how Jesus would pray. I know that's what Jesus would want. I know this is the will of God. So have I prayed specifically? Have I prayed unselfishly? Let me show you one more, two more, I'm sorry. Go with me to verse 5. Again. Now this one is a little different. And this is the one that's maybe a little more challenging and makes us think about our prayer. Notice what he prays for. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you some other verses here in a moment. But here's a question that I think is maybe, this might be the most challenging question. I think we know we need to pray specifically. I think we know we need to pray unselfishly. It's my job to remind you of those things. This one we may not know so much. So let me teach you a little bit. Number 3 is this. Have I prayed intelligently? As you listen to this guy, he is making an argument to his friend. He's saying, now, you're my friend, and I have another friend who's come to me, and I don't have anything to set before him. Now, you know that I need to feed him. And I know you have some extra here, and I need you to loan me these 3 loaves of bread so I can present to them. Now, that is why I'm asking you. I've explained it. I've been clear about it. There's no doubt about what I'm asking for, what the need is. I've laid out my argument, and I expect you now to loan me these 3 loaves. Brother Howell, now I told you I had another illustration, Brother Howell. Brother Howell said this, and I'll be honest, when I first heard him teach this, I'll expose my flesh here. I said, I don't think so. I mean, you're just up there talking. How could that be true? But as you grow in the Lord, sometimes you realize, yeah, I see that now. Maybe I'm not saying I'm at his level, but I understand what he was saying, at least to some degree. He used to say this, I spend more time. Now, think about this statement, because you're going to look at me. I know you're going to look at me weird in a moment. He said, I spend more time preparing my prayer than really asking the prayer. He said, I'll spend sometimes an hour planning the prayer that I'm going to pray for 10 minutes. He said, I'll look up the verses in the Bible to support it. I'll look up all the promises in the Bible that go behind it. I'll try to understand God's mind about how I should present this to him. I'll think of maybe of things in the Bible that maybe are accounts or stories that go along with it and support it. He said, when I, at times, I don't think every prayer is this way. He said, at times, it's like writing a sermon. I'll spend all of this time in preparation. If you ever wrote a sermon, you know that most sermons you'll spend 4 or 5 hours in preparation and you run through it in 30 minutes. But the preparation is necessary in order to have the 30 minutes to say a few words. Now, think about that. He said, I'll spend an hour before I even pray 10 minutes. Now, that he's talking about praying intelligently. He gave this other illustration. He said, when I pray, I'm like a lawyer going to a judge. I lay out my case. I give him all what the Bible says. I explain to him what is just about it, according to his word. I explain to him precedent, what he's done in the past. And I plead that he would answer what he's promised to do. He said, I beseech him like a lawyer talking to a judge. Now, in case you're wondering, because that may say, well, I don't know, that's Pastor White. Too many Christmas cookies, Pastor White, I can tell. You know, we got jingle bells on the brain. Let me give you some verses. There's a fellow in the Bible who felt that way, that he needed to present his case. That somehow if he could present his case in prayer to the Lord, then he could have confidence that the Lord would respond. His name was Job. And here's what he said in Job 23, verses 3, 4, and 5. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would, now watch this, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He's not fussing. He's not saying, Lord, what are you doing? You're messing my life up. That's not what he's talking about. He's not arguing that way. He's talking like a legal argument that a lawyer makes in a courtroom. That's what he's talking about. I would order my cause before him, and I'd fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. So he's talking about this idea that we pray intelligently. We ought to think about what we're praying about. What is the Lord's will? What does the Lord say about these things? How does the Lord view these things? How am I supposed to respond? Before I ask the Lord anything, I need to think about, really, what is the mind of God about these situations? And then start beseeching him and pleading him, having some intelligent way of speaking to him. When I've laid out all my argument before the Lord, I should be able to say, amen. Lord, the best I know how, I've explained to you my need, or this situation, or the need of the hour, whatever it is. I've laid it out before you. I've claimed the verses. I've claimed the promises. I've looked at what the Bible says, what your nature is, the justness of God, how you responded in the past. Now, Lord, amen, so be it. Please, Lord, answer this prayer very specifically. It's unselfish, and I've laid it out before you. And then he gives us one more help here. So, I'm trying to amen my prayer. Have I asked something specifically? Have I asked unselfishly? Have I asked intelligently? Have I really thought about the prayer? Have I really thought about the need? Have I really thought about what that situation is and how God feels about it and what God thinks about it and how God wants to respond to it? I have a point for it. Let me just stop for a moment. Sometimes before you ask God to do things, maybe you want to consider, what is God's will about things? Because sometimes we're praying for people who are in sin, that God is bringing judgment in their life, trying to deal with their sin issue, and we're asking God to pull back and let them get away with their sin. That doesn't sound like a very intelligent prayer. I'm not saying, Lord, sick them. I'm just saying, I want to pray in a way that honors God's word. If someone, let me give you another example. If someone is lazy and won't work, my prayer isn't, Lord, feed them. Here's my prayer. Lord, make them hungry enough to go get a job. Because what the Bible says, man does not work, he should not eat. Brother Royalty always said, this was one of my favorite statements. He said, hunger is a good sauce on any food. You get hungry enough, you eat anything. And so instead of just saying, Lord, you know, take all of the bad people and make their life good, we ought to say, Lord, help them to learn. Help them to repent. Help them to change some things in their life. So we need to make intelligent prayer requests laid out by looking at the Word of God. What is God's will about these situations? How does the Lord feel? What does the Lord think? Because I want to say, amen, this is what Jesus would pray for. So be it, surely, truly. Then I need to know what the Lord thinks about it. So have I prayed specifically? Have I prayed unselfishly? Have I prayed intelligently? Then here's the fourth one. Probably the one you expect and the one we need to do. Back to Luke 11. Look with me in verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Brother House used to go over and over and talk about that and just how that guy would just keep at it and keep at it and irritate the guy. And the guy finally says, fine, I'll do it. And he says, not that the Lord gets tired of hearing from you, and not that you can irritate the Lord, but the Lord is saying, this is what I want you to keep praying. So the fourth one is, have I prayed continually? Sometimes we can't amen the prayer because we're not really, it's a quick prayer. We just kind of throw it out there, and there's no expectation that we're really, this is something we're really burdened about or desirous of, and we don't even continue praying about it. There's really no amen to that. But when we're really praying specifically, really praying unselfishly, really praying intelligently, praying, and maybe we prayed again, we say, Lord, I know this is your will. Lord, I know this is the will of God. I know this is, according to the word of God, this is the mind of Christ on this. This is the desire of God. These are the promises you've given us. Now, Lord, please, please, so be it. Amen, Lord, so be it. And then I go back to him, maybe it's a couple days later, and Lord, I know it hasn't happened yet, but Lord, I believe, if this isn't what you want, Lord, change my mind about it, but until you do, I'm going to keep asking, Lord, I'm going to keep knocking, saying, hey, Lord, please, you got to do it, Lord, you got to do it. That's the type of praying that we amen. Lord, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to just all of a sudden just walk away and say, well, you know, got to be careful how I say this. I don't have the hour to explain it clearly. I'm just going to say it. I'm not looking for a no. I'm looking for a yes. Well, you know, no's an answer. That's not the answer I'm looking for. Here's the way I pray. Lord, if this isn't what you want, then show me what you want, because I'm going to keep praying until I get to a yes. You know, I'm praying, Lord, three loaves of bread. Now, if the Lord's will is four loaves, then okay, then let's go for four loaves. If his will is two loaves, let's go for two loaves. I will change the specificness of the prayer, but I'm keep asking until you tell me to change it. Because I want a yes. I want an answer. I'm not praying just because I have nothing else to do. There's a need I want God to fill. And so, Lord, you're going to have to do something, because I have a need. I want it filled. Whether it's a personal need or I'm praying for others, whatever it may be, but this need needs filled. As I'm going to keep praying, I want a yes in this. And so I pray continually. And the idea of praying continually is you just keep at it until the Lord does something. You know what? Here's what's interesting. The guy came knocking, and what was the first answer he got? No. Go away. We're in bed. Leave us alone. So what did the guy do? He came back and knocked some more. Hey, three loaves! And the guy said what? No, we're in bed, leave us alone. It doesn't tell us how many times he knocked, but it says for his importunity. I don't know, was it 10 times? 20 times? At some point, the guy said, fine, I got the three loaves of bread. And the guy said, thank you, that's exactly what I asked for. See, that's what I'm, in my prayer, that's what I want, the yes. I want, this is what we're praying about. We're not just going through emotion. We're not just trying to, we're asking the Lord to do something. Now, I understand your life, you have your needs and your situations, and I'm not in any way downplaying it. But I'm going to speak for a moment from my perspective, because I know my perspective a little bit better. Most of my praying, and this is, again, probably one of my shortcomings and my faults, but most of my praying, if it isn't about my family, it's Grace Baptist Church. It's been a prayer of mine for almost 14 years now. Well, 14 years, because we started in our dining room. And when we prayed, I didn't pray like this. Well, Lord, do something somewhere, somehow. I said, Lord, here's the area we're starting a church. Here's what kind of church we're trying to have. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. And Lord, this is what we want. And we're going to keep knocking and keep asking and keep begging you until we get what we're praying for. Now, the Lord has been good to us. He has blessed us, and we're thankful for those things. But that's the kind of prayer we want to amen. A specific prayer, an unselfish prayer, an intelligent prayer, and a continual prayer. And then I can say amen to those things. Now, when we can amen our prayer, then we know we're praying like they prayed in the Bible. It's how Abraham prayed. That's how Jacob prayed. That's how Moses prayed. That's how Elijah prayed. And that's the type of prayers that God answers. These prayers that we can truly say amen to it. So maybe the challenge tonight is this. Let's not say amen until we can say really say amen and mean it to that prayer. Before we get to the end of the prayer, if we look back and we cannot say, yes, I've asked specifically. Yes, I've asked unselfishly. Yes, I've asked intelligently. Yes, I've asked continually. If I can't get to that point, maybe I shouldn't say amen. Maybe I say, Lord, we're going to keep at this. Maybe I got to take a break right now, but we're coming back to this. Because I'm going to keep asking until I can get to what I can say, so be it. Yes, truly, surely, this is what I should be praying about. because I'm trying to get to a yes in this. So again, I ask you, can we amen, truly amen our prayers? Would you pray with me?